It is a blessing to be back home. It's great to be back in Anchor Baptist Church, and thank you for your prayers for the traveling from Stewart Terrace to here. And praise the Lord, we were able to get in last night about just a little before midnight and then back at the house at 2 o'clock. It is good to be back. If you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 37, are we live? Like on the web? Not in front of the millions. Well, to my wife, who's probably not going to go back and watch this because she's probably getting tired of hearing me speak, I love you. And then Carson is not feeling well. You can see it in his eyes. So hopefully he'll be here next Wednesday in church. I'll be back up in Terrace next Wednesday for another meeting at the house church that's there. So do pray for the weather that be smooth, so I'm not there in a couple extra days next week as well. So we're at 20% of the support that we need to get to Uganda, just to give you a little bit of update from October of when we were here, and then the beginning part of November. We have meetings every Sunday and Wednesday until the second week of May, and then we have a Wednesday that I'm still trying to fill, and then a Sunday morning as well. And then other than that, we're completely filled until the third week of June, so the Lord's blessed us with a full schedule. So prayerfully, we'll be able to get as much support as we possibly can so we can get to Uganda as quickly as possible. Our goal is to be in Uganda by the end of the summer of next year, 2020. We'd like to potentially take a survey trip sometime later this year, maybe in the fall, if the Lord will give us a week. But because we have so many meetings scheduled, it's going to be tough to kind of space out a week so that we can go there. My wife's not been to Uganda yet, so I'd like her to be able to see the need so that she can have it for herself. But so far, it's obviously she's called to her husband, and I'm called to whatever God has for us. And I believe God's obviously called us to go to Uganda as missionary. So we're very, very thankful and grateful for having an amazing sending church and receiving some kind messages on Facebook and notes. And it's been a blessing. We were at Metro Baptist Church a couple weeks ago. It's a blessing to be back in the Lower Mainland. Landed in YVR last night, could not believe the amount of snow that was on the ground. My goodness, it's been a while since I've seen that much snow here. Of course, we were up in Stewart, and there's a lot of snow there. I was looking on the prayer page here, and I noticed number 6, and we've obviously been praying about finding a new meeting location, and I'm very thankful for all the meeting locations that God's given us over the years, over the almost 18 years. And so I would encourage you and challenge you just to every day pray for number 6. And if you think about it, when you wake up in the morning, think number 6. Church needs a new meeting location, and it might be, I don't know, we'd have to think through it, but it might be the 6th meeting location that we've had. And so, ironically, it's number 6 there on the prayer page. Psalm 37:4, I'll read one verse, tell three stories, and we'll make an application, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. I've claimed Psalm 37:4 as my verse for 2019, and it's been a blessing to me, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I'll read it again. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to be able to speak here. Lord, I pray that I wouldn't take it lightly, and I'd say only what you'd have me to say. I do pray that you'd be with these people as they go home tonight. Give them safety. Thank you so much for their faithfulness being in church tonight on a cold night and even a slippery night on the roads. I do pray for those who did not come, Lord, that you'd heal them if they're sick and you'd encourage them to be in their place on Sunday under the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, I do pray that the next few moments would be a blessing as it has been a blessing to me. And Lord, I pray that you give us a good rest of the evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Story number 1. I was 9 years old. It was 2005, and it was a Saturday afternoon. We had just got back from passing out invitations and gospel tracts at the SkyTrain at Lougheed. And my usual Saturday afternoon routine when I got back from doing visitation or whatever the case was as a 9-year-old boy was to turn on my Nintendo GameCube and play NHL 2005. And I loved NHL 2005 on the Nintendo GameCube. And so I got home, and Dad went around back. We were still at our old house over here on 11th Avenue, and I think he was gathering up some recycling stuff or trash, and I don't really remember exactly the order of how everything happened, but I remember going to the living room and opening up our TV cabinet and turning on my Nintendo GameCube. And sometimes I would watch college basketball or college football, just depending on the time of the year on the Saturday afternoons. And so I turned on my GameCube, got the game ready to go, and I went to the kitchen and opened up the freezer and pulled out a carton or a tub of Lucerne vanilla ice cream. I love vanilla ice cream. It's great. I mean, I like chocolate ice cream and strawberry ice cream, too. I love vanilla ice cream. And so I dug down in there as a 9-year-old boy. Mom was doing something. I think maybe she was with the girls at Value Village or something like that. I think something like that. And so there was nobody around. It was just me with the ice cream. And so I scooped a couple scoops and went back in the living room, sat down. I'd only sat down for about 5 minutes. And I heard the back door kind of slam open because slam shut because the springs weren't very good. And Dad came in, and I was just starting the game. It was like first period in my dynasty mode as the Vancouver Canucks, of course, because I always played as the Vancouver Canucks. And I remember he came in, and he said, "Son, I've got some trash and recycling that need to go to the dump. Would you like to come and help me with the recycling and the trash?" So it was an option. And I remember thinking, man, I just sat down. I just got the game on. You know, I don't want to do this, but whatever. And so I was like, all right, yeah, I'll do it. So I paused the game. I just scooped out my ice cream, so I had to go take it, put it back in the freezer, put the bowl in the freezer. And so we went over to the dump. I believe it was the one over by Braid Station. I can't remember if it was that one or not, but we took all the recycling stuff and the trash, whatever the case was. I think we had a bigger load. That's why we went to the dump that day. And so on our way back, he took an extra turn. And whenever Dad took an extra turn, whether it was to go to church or coming back from church or teen activities or something like that, wherever we were, if he ever took an extra turn, because Dad was always, you know, we're going this place, we're going point A to point B to point C, back to point A, whatever the case is. And if there was an A+ or a B+ or a C+, which means an extra turn, you knew that he was going to go get something, and 9.9 times out of 10 it involved food. And so he made an extra turn and he went towards the Dairy Queen in New West. And he said, you know, thanks for coming and helping me with the recycling. You know, get what you want. Now, he didn't know, but I knew what I wanted already, and that was a marshmallow sundae from Dairy Queen. I don't know if they still have it or not, but my goodness, the marshmallow sundaes at Dairy Queen are amazing. I mean, they put the marshmallow cream down on the side, drizzle it on the top, it's overflowing. I mean, it's fantastic. And so now I've got my marshmallow cream sundae, and I came back to the house, and I went back to the freezer, and I saw my bowl still, and I was like, I don't want that. I want my marshmallow cream sundae. You know, I would not have gotten the marshmallow cream sundae from Dairy Queen had I not gone and helped Dad with the recycling and the garbage. Now, I didn't know there was a Dairy Queen sundae at the end of the line when I made the decision to not play my game and not, you know, eat my Lucerne vanilla ice cream. And I didn't know that there was a Dairy Queen sundae on the end of the line, but I had to help him first before I got my Dairy Queen sundae. Story number one. Story number two. When my dad was in Bible college, the first semester of his school, he went to a college in Florida, and he went more or less for athletics and also to learn more about the Bible, but athletics was, he wanted to be a coach. Dad wanted a coach. It was high school level or collegiate level. It was, he just wanted a coach, whether it was young guys, older guys, whatever the case was. Dad wanted a coach. Well, my mom was at another college in Indiana at the time, so there was a long-distance relationship, and then God put it on my dad's heart that he needed to go back to Hiles Anderson to go mainly in for Bible and then eventually to be a missionary called here to Burnaby. So his desire of being a coach was put on hold, and I don't know if he completely forgot about it or if it was just something that, you know, he was content with what God had called him to do, to be a missionary. So fast forward ahead, Dad and Mom get married, I come on the scene, we start deputation, we come here to Burnaby, work with Pastor Arbo in Surrey for a year, start the church, Anchor Baptist, in June of 2001. And remember, Dad wanted to be a coach, that was what he wanted to do, but that was put on hold. I believe it was February of 2008, and somewhere along the line, something happened. Dad and Pastor Mackay came up with this idea to start a homeschool boys basketball league. And this homeschool boys basketball league was obviously, as the title is for homeschool boys. And there was probably 16 of us, and we, for the next several years, were coached by my dad, coached by Pastor Mackay as well. And we played three games, and against another homeschool team here in the area that was, you know, they weren't that good. They were pretty bad. So it was blowout scores for us. And we got to go to some fine arts, and we got to go to a basketball tournament, and we got to do three-on-three tournaments and so forth and so on. But the thing is my dad would not have had the opportunity to coach homeschool boys had he stayed where he was originally, where he originally thought he was supposed to be, and study athletics and be a coach. Now, I don't know what his major end goal dream of being a coach was. Maybe it was to coach a state championship basketball team or soccer team, whatever the case was. Obviously, my grandpa's coached for 40-plus years. My grandma coached volleyball for many years. So I don't know what his end goal was. It may have been something astronomical. It may have been something huge. And had he stayed with it, maybe he would have had that opportunity. But instead, God called him to be a missionary to come to Burnaby. And he still allowed my dad to be a coach. He gave him the desires of his heart. And maybe it wasn't the exact desire, maybe to be a coach of, you know, this particular thing, and maybe it was to be, you know, on a big, big pedestal, big stage. Maybe that was his desire. But God changed that desire after he followed God's will first. And he became a coach of homeschool boys and impacted at least 16 of us guys, and I think that's how many we had total throughout the years. And many of us are now serving the Lord, Canada, United States, whatever the case is. Story number two. Story number three. Back to NHL 2005, my Nintendo GameCube. I had this desire to be a sports broadcaster. I had this desire to be a play-by-play commentator. You know, like when you're watching a game on Sportsnet or on CBC, and the guys who are calling the play-by-play, you know, they call the game. I had the desire to be a play-by-play broadcaster. And so with my Nintendo GameCube, my NHL 2005, I would mute the audio on the TV and on the game, and I would do the play-by-play commentary in the house. I'd be yelling and screaming and going crazy in front of a TV. And then when we moved to Coquitlam, I was now on the top floor, so many times I'd hear the broom or a mop hitting the ceiling. And that was my mom saying, "Caleb, you need to be quiet. You need to calm down." Well, when I was 8 years old at a missions conference in North Carolina, as you saw the video in October, I surrendered to be a missionary. And so I knew that God was going to call me to be a missionary. I didn't know where at the time or all the things and so forth and so on. So I knew that the desire and the want to be a sports broadcaster was probably not going to happen. And so, you know, I kind of just put that off to the side, and, you know, I'm probably never going to be a sports broadcaster. It was a fun thing to do, though, you know, as a high schooler. I went to Bible college in the fall of 2014, and in my junior year, in the second semester of my junior year, a couple of friends and I, a couple of the guys, we came up with this idea to start the GSBC Bleacher Report. And this was a website online that covered the intramural sports of our Bible college. So we had basketball, we had football in the fall, we had volleyball, soccer, and I think there was one other sport, I'm forgetting. We had softball as well. And so on this website, we would post the stats and post-game reports of the games. And so all the guys could go back and see their stats and see if we said good things about them or see if we said bad things about them. And it was really an ego thing for the guys. But anyways, we left it with just stats and articles for a period of time, but we came up with this idea to put a camera up in the top booth, the second floor of our gymnasium, and live stream the game so that families around the United States and Canada, around the world, if there were missionary kids participating, could watch the games. And I don't know, maybe some of you have watched the games on Facebook, GSBC Bleacher Report, whatever the case is. So we came up with the idea to put the camera up there, and then I don't know why we didn't think of it right away when we had the camera, but what if we just connect the microphone to the camera or to the computer? Now we can have a guy doing the play-by-play commentary up there. And so for my entire senior year, I got to broadcast basketball, I got to broadcast soccer, volleyball, and football in our intramural sports program. God gave me the desires of my heart. Now I had the vision of calling Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, the game-winning goal in overtime, Game 7 of the NBA Finals, Super Bowl, Grey Cup, World Cup, whatever. I had these huge, lofty visions and imaginations, and I thought maybe I would have the opportunity to be a broadcaster. But God called me to be a missionary, and so that desire was put on hold. Those desires changed over the course of a period of time, and now my desires were to be a broadcaster at Golden State Baptist College. And countless families around the world, and We've already been on deputation in California, and I've met some of the parents who listen to the games on Facebook, and it's been super encouraging to know that my desires, as they were changed over the course of a period of time, and people in Denmark and England and Ukraine and Russia got to watch their kids play online, and that meant so much more than calling Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. Let's look again at Psalm 37, 4, and what the verse says. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight means to take great pleasure in, to give keen enjoyment, to give joy or satisfaction to. And while maybe the desires were a Dairy Queen marshmallow sundae, and to be a coach, and to be a sports broadcaster, maybe your desires, and I probably guarantee you, your desires are different than a Dairy Queen sundae, being a coach and being a sports broadcaster. Your desires might be a specific job or a place that, you know, you want to go, or maybe something you want to do with your life. Maybe it's friends. You have a desire to make a lot of friends, or you have a desire to have a big social standing in the community. You have a desire to make money, and those aren't sinful unless you love the money, obviously. And it may not be something that's sinful. It may just be something that you desire to do, you desire to achieve. But the question that we need to ask ourselves based upon this verse is, am I and are we delighting the Lord? Am I or are we delighting the Lord? Because more importantly than any desire that we would have, it's very important that we're delighting our Savior and delighting the Lord first. We can delight in the Lord when we, and if you're taking notes, number one, when we fret not because of evildoers. Look at verse number 1, chapter 37. This, by the way, this is an amazing chapter, 40 verses. There's stuff all throughout this chapter that's super encouraging. But verse number 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. What the verse is basically saying is, don't worry about the wicked people of the world and what they're doing, and maybe the accomplishments that they are achieving. And maybe they're sinful and they've got fleshly desires, but maybe from a Christian standpoint, it appears that they're getting blessed with lots of money and possessions and cars and maybe mansions, and they get to travel the world if they're in business and whatever the case is, and yet they're posting pictures of maybe their sinful pleasures. But the Bible says, fret not because of evildoers. Don't worry about what the people of this world are achieving and are accomplishing, because look at what it says. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Basically, their time's coming. It says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't let the world bring you down because of worry. Let's flip over to 2 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7. Hold your place in Psalms 37. Delighting in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. Number one, fret not because of evildoers. 2 Timothy 2:7. Second Timothy 2:7 is not what I'm looking for. Write it down. Second Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. The Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, don't worry about maybe what your next door neighbor and the things that maybe they may, I don't know, if for us it was, we had people next door to us. I mean, they had money. And it was very evident that they had money. And I know that the love of money is the root of all evil. But you know, when you're sold out and you're dedicated to God and you're going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you're going visiting on Saturdays and you're reading your Bible for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever the case is, and you're praying and you're dedicated to God, and then trials happen and discouragements happen, and you look next door and you see that Joe Blow over here, I mean, he's got his RV and he's got his expensive cars, and he's got everything, it appears in his life going right and going well. The Bible says, fret not because of evildoers. Fret not because of evildoers. Delighting and the Lord. Number two, go back to Psalm 37, in verse number three, number two, trust in the Lord. So fret not because of evildoers. Number two, trust in the Lord. Verse number three, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. When the hardships come in your life, and when the trials come in your life, and as we've experienced in our church with Brother Ike passing away and Mrs. Miksha in the hospital, and many people with needs and ailments, and as you can, I mean, you can see on our prayer page. I mean, by the way, I really like the new prayer page design. It's very, very nice. It's separated into specific requests, but you look at all these requests, and these all represent people and souls, and specifically on the harvest field. I mean, there's a lot of needs that are in the church, and when you flip it over and you look at the missionaries, and there's a lot of needs represented by these missionary families, and with the three that we've highlighted tonight, and then Miss Susanna as well. But when the difficulties and the trials and the discouragements come, it's very important that before we go on social media, and before we go to friends, and before we even go to the pastor, and before we go anywhere else, and before we go to the TV evangelists and the people that are online that we listen to, it's very important that we go to God first and we trust in Him. Because if we are going to delight in the Lord, and if you want your desires to be fulfilled, and you want your desires, and remember, your desires may be this, but God may change your desires so they're this. And so you may be over here in this point right now where the desire is this, and this is what I want. But God knows that 5 years from now, if you have continued down this road, trusting in Him, fretting not because of the evildoers, your desires are now this. And maybe God has someone here to be a missionary. And you may not even be thinking about it, right? It may not even cross your mind about being a missionary or being a pastor or a youth pastor, assistant pastor, or a bus driver if we get another bus, or a van driver with the van that's at the house. It may not be something that you're thinking about right now, but then it may become a desire 5 years from now. But it won't be a desire if we don't delight in the Lord. And we delight in the Lord by fretting not because of evildoers and trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Go over to Proverbs 3, just a couple chapters in advance there in your Bible. Proverbs 3, verse number 5 and 6. Very well-known verse, but important that we read it and think about it. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It's so easy for me personally to lean on my own understanding and my own abilities because, quote-unquote, I have a Bible college degree. Quote-unquote, I'm a pastor's kid. And quote-unquote, I'm a missionary's kid and now a missionary. It's so easy for me personally to rely on my own understandings and my, biblical knowledge and whatever the case is. But it is vitally important to go back to that first phrase in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then verse number 6, in all thy ways. That means everything we do, whether it be working or eating or playing or school, whatever the case is, university, college degree, whatever the case is, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He, that's talking about God, shall direct thy paths. So delighting in the Lord, number one, we saw fretting not because of evildoers. And number two, trusting in the Lord. Number three, go back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 3, the second phrase, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Let's now go to Ephesians 2:10. I'm keeping you guys awake. We're almost done. If you were here, I think it was 5 years ago for maybe one time I preached. It was a long service. So I'm making up for previous mistakes of preaching for way too long. Do good. The Bible says, verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We've been created and placed in this specific place, and God's placed me and given a burden and then a calling in my life to go to Uganda. We've been placed in a very specific place to do God's will. Whatever God's will is for your life, I don't know what it is for your life. You probably know what it is, or maybe you're still searching or you're waiting on it. But we have been created to do good works, as the Bible says. Now, good works will not get us to heaven, as you can just, it's right there, right before it. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But once you've gotten saved, it's very important that you're living right. And as the Bible says in verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do good, delighting in the Lord. Now go to Matthew 5:16, and we're winding it down. Matthew 5:16. Delighting in the Lord. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now notice that this is a clause, that they may see your good works. So that's not, the they is not the glorifying, it's the let your light so shine before men and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But these people of the world, that they may see your good works, they can see it. They'll see a difference. They'll know that you're a Christian. They'll see that there's something special about you when you're at work and instead of telling a dirty joke or listening to a dirty joke, you say, you know, maybe we shouldn't be talking about that. Or maybe at the lunch break when you pull out your Bible and you do your Bible reading. I know for me, the Bible reading was usually at work or at night on my last tail end of the shift at the hospital, because I'd have to wake up early and get ready for classes. And then when classes got done, I was eating lunch and then trying to do a little bit of homework and then going to work. So for a college student, you just have to try to fit it in. But I don't know, maybe for you, it's your lunch break. Or maybe when you get home, you have an opportunity to read your Bible. Or in public, you have an opportunity to be a testimony. It's very, very important that the people of this world and the people of our community see something different in a Christian's life. Doing good. So my question is tonight, what kind of desires do you have? They may not be sinful desires. It may not be something that's fleshly or whatever the case, secular, whatever the case is. They may be perfectly good desires. I mean, a Dairy Queen Marshmallow Sunday is a great desire. Being a coach is a great desire. Helping young people in a sport, I mean, that's a great desire. Being a sports broadcaster, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not sinful. Maybe for you, it's a job or school or a subject or a hobby or something like that. That's your desires. Maybe it's a position or social status in the community. And God may have desires for you 5 years from now or 3 years from now or whatever the case is, but they may be different than the desires that you have right now. What kind of desires do you have? We must delight in God first, and then he will give us the desires of our heart. Or God might change your desires to something even better. This is something that clicked in my mind when I was reading Psalm 37:4. If I give God first place in my life, he might just turn around and bless me with what I wanted in the first place. Now, not always is it going to be that. It's not always going to be that way. I mean, you know, It's amazing that I had the opportunity to broadcast and that Dad had an opportunity to coach, and then my desires as a kid, as a Marshmallow Dairy Queen Sunday. You know, it may be something that's completely out of this world. That's your first place. And it may not happen that way, but it may be that if we just give God first place in our life, that he always has the priority and he always has the preeminence in our life. Maybe he'll turn around and he'll see faithful Christians every step of the way, and maybe he'll say, you know what, I'm going to bless them with the desires of their heart. And it may not be the original desire that they had, but when they start doing this or they start participating in this or I give them this, then that's going to be the desires of their heart. So fret not because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good, delighting in the Lord.